Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tye.
Okay, so we're waiting to talk with Breaking Benjamin. I'm with Tiffany, who's gazing out in the waterfront. It is a beautiful sight, right, Tiffany?
It is absolutely beautiful and calming after today's events.
Exactly. It wasn't even, it wasn't hot today. The sun was just strong.
Yeah. It was a really nice breeze going, so it wasn't all sweaty and nasty.
Nah. Yeah, Warped Tour is just ugh.
It's always ugh.
Not a fan of ugh.
No.
So, anyways, it looks like we're going to be interviewing both Ben and Sean of Breaking Benjamin, so that's pretty fucking cool.
That's awesome.
I just hope we don't get bumped. That's the one thing, man. If you give me, 5 minutes, whatever, just don't bump me. But, yes, this is the intro to it, and the next time you hear our voices, we will be talking with them. Cool. So we're here at Rock Allegiance with the beautiful members of Breaking Benjamin. What's up, guys?
You're beautiful, too.
Oh, not as beautiful as you, Ben.
Thank you.
No, I'm jealous.
Of course.
You're
is that
way
a tattoo?
Yeah.
All right. Still looks pretty shiny. Yeah. What we got here?
My hairs are starting to grow back.
Go.
Go, let me see.
Holy shit.
Goodness.
That is badass.
Thank you.
Looking at tattoos makes for great radio.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me describe it to you.
Tattoos make for great anything.
Yes.
Red and black.
It's red and black.
And it's a tattoo.
It's a tattoo.
And that's it.
It's your imagination.
Follow Ben on Instagram and you'll see it.
Yes. There you go. See, that's a beautiful plug.
Yeah.
There we go. So, anyways, we're here at Rock Allegiance. You guys are playing, about an hour, right?
Yeah, man.
Oh. Holy shit.
Let's see.
Hour and a half.
You guys will,
an hour and a half.
All right. You guys excited for a little hometown gig?
You got the lens cap on there.
Huh? I know.
Okay.
I'm gonna shoot the set.
Okay.
Oh, very good.
You look like you were taking a picture.
Yeah. You were a terrible photographer.
I know.
I was just as confused. But anyways, you guys are on in about an hour. An hour and a half.
Yes,
yep.
Sir.
Yep. You got, this is basically a homecoming, more or less, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've spent a lot of time in PA. So we're all from different places. The band hails from PA.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's kind of the band's home state as a whole. Yeah. Not individually, as a whole.
Me too.
Nice.
As a whole or individually?
Individually. Just me, myself, and I.
Or Irene, if you want to go with that movie.
And Irene,
that
too,
was a good movie
if
back
she would
today.
Like.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Killer guys.
Damn straight. So, anyways.
That making me salivate on myself.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
you are breaking out a little bit underneath the tattoo.
That was the tape. The tape.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's real fresh.
That is fresh to death. That's what I should say.
Day before yesterday.
Wow.
So
good stuff.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a flesh wound.
So how'd you feel about the new Star Wars movie?
I loved it.
about it.
I loved it.
Two thumbs up for Mr. Abrams?
Yeah.
It was what we needed.
Yep. It was great.
After one,
you did a great job.
It really did. With what you got. And, you know, speaking of, you know, futuristic things, let's talk about the Ashes to Eden video.
Yeah, Ashes of Eden.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. We did it all green screened, and it's a cool concept of like a modern day Adam and Eve type thing. And so we just wanted to kind of tell the story. And the director's really, really cool. Did a really great job.
Yeah, it came out phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like one of my favorite videos that I've done as far as the content of it and the execution of it and the personal aspect of doing it with these guys. So it's just great all around.
So was this your idea? Was this your brainchild?
Yeah, it was like a concept I came up with, and I went with this director, and he brought it to life for us.
Wow.
So
it did come out wonderfully. So
thank you.
Yeah, big props on that.
Thanks.
So we got a few fan questions. This is actually from Dan, my co-host, who's not here, who's actually one of your biggest fans.
Rad.
You actually met him once at, I think, your comeback show in Pennsylvania.
Cool.
So he asks, has your health issues shaped the sound of your music?
I don't really think so. I mean, maybe there's some lyrical things that touch on that. Just the vagueness of, not specifically, but vaguely, you know. So I think that kind of creeped in there somehow.
So there's some influences.
Yeah, I would say.
Not, you know, main influence, but.
Yes. Not specific, but, you know, the experience of it. Yeah. More so than it itself.
I hear you. All right, we also from Dan, because he's greedy. Now that you have different members, do you plan on changing the sound or experimenting at all?
No, I just think we're going to just try and make good music. You know, I just don't really try to think about it any more beyond that.
So we're not expecting like a Radiohead album the next next go around?
If that's what will sound good, then I would do it.
There we go.
Just try to make songs that sound good. I don't try to stick to any sort of thing on purpose or whatever. I just have a certain style.
Yeah.
And just try to do the best with what I can and give 100%. And if it's not that good, then at least I gave it my all, you know.
Yeah.
So the same thing with these guys. They're doing a lot more writing on this next one. And it's just turning out really awesome.
Nice. You got some demos going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'll say you want to give a little bit away or how it's progressing.
No.
Don't blame me on there.
There's nothing really to give away at this point anyway.
It's just riffs and random ideas.
Yeah, yep. So. Yep, exactly.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. All right, we also have Dylan asking, your music has helped him with difficult times in his life, and he thanks you from the bottom of his heart. He wants to know what keeps you motivated when you're depressed. Yeah, there you
These
go.
Guys are always. I mean, from our perspective as a band, just knowing the amazing fans that we have out there that you know, that live through our music, it's hard to be depressed when you know that there's those amazing people out there.
And waking up knowing you're with your best friends all the time, it's hard to be depressed about that too.
That's true. You are traveling the world, doing what you love with the people you love.
Yeah.
Like, how many people can actually say that?
Exactly.
Life?
If you're not doing it that way, don't do it.
Yeah, we have lots of fun.
Yeah. Hey, if you're not...
We'll leave it at that.
Hey. It's cool with me. So, Tiffany, you got anything for these fine gentlemen?
What is the first thing you think of when you wake up and the last thing you think of when you go to bed?
What the fuck kind of question was that?
Nothing I can say.
Why is my penis hard?
Was that when you wake up or go to bed?
Yes.
Both.
Yes. Off the cuff.
Typically when I wake up.
Pick it up.
I believe that's called sialish.
The first thing that I think of when I wake up is... I really have to pee. And then, like, the last thing I think of is I should probably pee.
So it comes full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, so.
You don't want to answer that.
Well, you think about putting on a great show. And then when you go to bed, you thought, you know what? I put on the best show that I could possibly do.
Yes, sir.
There we go. Let's just stick it at that.
That's exactly what it was going to say.
There we go. So I just got the Dave Chappelle Wrap It Up box. So anyways, we like to end each episode with a song from the band that we're interviewing. Any songs you have in mind or that you want us to play?
I think our next single is going to be Never Again. I'm going to play that.
Never Again? Done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Cool.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Sean, Aaron.
Thank you. We are here at Rock Allegiance, about to interview Trivium. I don't know who from the band is here, but we will find out. And here we go. Let's start this interview.
Well, welcome to beautiful Chester, PA.
Yeah, here we
are. Nice little waterfront going on.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know how healthy the water is.
Yeah, I won't go for a swim.
What was that?
I said I probably won't go for a swim.
No. Either. Although I did see a few jet skiers before,
yeah.
So are they brave? Are they stupid? I really don't know. So I'm also here with Tiffany. Tiffany, what's going on?
Enjoying the weather and beautiful water and the bridge. And it's so much cooler in here than it is out there. Because it is, my makeup is through and my hair is through. And that is it for me.
How's your makeup holding up?
It's doing all right.
Doing all right?
Your hair looks wonderful.
Thank you.
Yes?
Thank
you. A lot of upkeep with all that?
Yeah. I had long hair before, and it's way easier having a shaved head.
Now, how often do you actually go and shave your head?
Maybe like once or twice a week if I'm, you know, on top of it. Sometimes I'll let it go a little longer, but for the most part, try to keep it close.
Any bald spots right now or no? Like if you let your hair grow in, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of thin now, but I used to have really long hair. I grew it out because I knew I'd eventually it would go away, so I got to live with long hair for a little bit just to see what it was like. And then once I knew it was getting thin, I'm like, all right, I'm shaving it. I'm going for it.
Have you ever thought of doing the bald head, long beard thing?
I don't
Everybody
think I could
does.
Grow a long beard. I don't know. I don't think it would look right on me. I like clean shaven.
Okay.
Do my own thing.
I'm the same way.
Forge my own path.
There you go. And I can't even grow a beard. Like, this is like the best I'm going to get.
Yeah. I think mine would just be patchy.
Yeah. Same with mine. I still haven't hit puberty yet.
Yeah, my beard hasn't grown in either.
Transplant.
Yeah, really. Although, don't they take it from your ass hair and then they put it on your face?
No.
They might. I think that's how they do it.
Maybe the back hair or something, if you got it.
Yeah, but it's like actual like follicles, too. Like, nothing is... She's fucking grossed
that is
out.
So gross.
Oh, that was... There's nothing gross about it.
It's so gross.
Anyways, you're out promoting your 7th album, Silence in the
yes.
Snow. How's the reception for that been so far?
It's been great. It's been out for going to be almost a year now.
Wow.
Time really, truly flies fast, especially with touring. You know, we've been already around the world once. This is our third or fourth U.S. tour just on this album alone, so we've been really focusing on playing here and putting the time in, and now we're doing the headlining tour with Sabaton and Huntress, and it's been great. You know, we're even playing a couple new ones from that album that we haven't played yet, and we tried to space out, you know, playing new songs throughout the cycle and not just play everything new right away and just kind of, you know, play different songs here and there and let people kind of get used to it. And the reception's been great, and it's really broken us through a new audience, especially at the Radio World and these sort of festivals.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of opened up the door for us and new fans, and that's always an exciting thing, especially when we're doing the headliners, and you can tell, you know, the fan base is now 50-50 new and old, and it just makes the dynamic of the shows fun. It doesn't feel like, all right, we're doing the same thing. Same stuff. And for the older fans, I think it's cool for them to see, like, you know, we're still trying to push and break new ground, and it's fun. You know, we want our set to reflect that. It's the whole history, not just the new stuff, not just the old stuff.
Yeah. So how are the old fans responding to the new stuff? Is it, like, again, 50-50?
I mean, every time you put out a new record, it's like you have, like, a third that instantly, like, is a knee-jerk reaction of not liking it because it doesn't sound like something they thought it would be. You have the third that love it right away, just it clicks. And then you have the third that's kind of, like, in the middle and maybe doesn't even know we have a new record yet. And so, like, you just kind of go into the album and you just, like, let it out there. You play stuff and you start to see people's perception and reaction to the record change over time, especially once I think people have seen stuff live or have lived with it for a bit. And I was even saying to someone the other day, you know, it's hard to say how the album is received after a year. It's like, ask 5 to 10 years from now how it's received. I can give a better assessment of, like, older records now that are turning 10 or 5 years ago, because what people think of those records is so different. I mean, we're playing 2 songs from the Crusade on the headlining tour last night, and it was amazing because when the record came out, it definitely had, like, a bias towards not being a great follow-up after Ascendancy. But now that we've had time go by as we, you know, we play the songs here and there, but we haven't played them nearly as much as some of the others. Now the reaction to those songs is like, you know, the prodigal son returning. Like,
of course,
like, wow, this is great. They're playing these. I didn't think they would play it. I love that. And kind of interesting how time can sort of change with any piece of art, a book, or music. And being fortunate enough to have lasted this long, you can see it, you know, in real time, even though it's slow, how albums change. I mean, an album like Ascendancy, I feel like from day one it was love, and it's only grown deeper for that record. But it's cool to see records that weren't initially received well turn into something new, and that's a cool thing for us to witness.
That's true. And plus, with like the passing of time, like a person could be going through a heartbreak like 5 years ago, and then like revisit this album and be like, okay, I still have that, you know.
Yeah. Well, we also have, like, now that we have a new audience sort of entering into the fray, like, you know, from this record, a lot of people that are just discovering us, they have 7 albums to go through, so it's like they're catching up on a Netflix series, you know, and that's a different, totally different listening experience. I would liken it to when I got into Metallica on Load and Reload.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I came in fresh ears. I had no bias towards them in, like, the great betrayal to their fan base of making records like that. I just thought it was a great album. And then I went back and listened to the classics, and I'm like, this band's amazing. And look at the career arc within that 15-year period and what they made and the different sounds. You know, for people that literally grew with that band, it was different. It was like that the line between, like, you know, maybe the Injustice for All and like the Black Album, or Black Album and Load and Reload, was like, this band is totally lost the way and this and that. And so I look at it like we're getting new fans in, re-looking at these records that maybe had a certain bias towards them, and now they're looking at it with new eyes and new lens. And now when we play the songs, it's like people are like, wow, yeah, I want to see that. That's cool. This is a cool record. And so we're like experiencing that now for the first time with a lot of these records. And it's a cool place to be in as a band.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, from, I mean, obviously going back to your first album to now, we've gotten a lot more theatric. Like, there's a whole bunch of theater elements. I hear some Iron Maiden references on a new album, little King Diamond there, too. And this is the first album to not have, you know, any unclean vocals, too.
Yeah.
So, or I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, the radio audience, do they understand when they go back and they're like, oh my god, what is this screaming shit going on? And then they go with the new one? Do they more adapt with the new album than the
old one? Yeah, I think so. I think people are more accustomed to screaming now, and that was something we were even talking about. I mean, we kind of came to a point where we were making the record, and by the time we came to the end, we felt we didn't need to have the screaming. We also had, Matt was having issues at the time where he was relearning the screaming, so we were kind of in a, it was an interesting point because we wrote a record that didn't need the screaming, but we also had, you know, in the back of our mind, like, well, what if Matt doesn't get his screaming back and get this new technique down, like, you know, and we set ourselves up with a bunch of songs where the main vocal is not going to be easy for Matt to do or possible, and then it would fall on Corey. So we were kind of in the back of our minds thinking about that, but we realized that even though you know, we have like this very diverse album or collection of albums that have screaming and singing, it's, if the songs and the melodies are good, people get it. You know, I think it's like we're playing rock and metal. You know, I could see if we're playing like a really pop audience, maybe they wouldn't get it. But I feel like if you listen to rock or metal, you probably have heard screaming before, and it's not that shocking. You know, maybe if you listen to Ember to Inferno, that would be maybe more screaming expecting. But I mean, it's like when I listen to bands that had like all screaming and then became like a band like Catatonia or something, you know, they totally changed. There's like a whole slew of like death metal bands from Scandinavia that ended up becoming incredibly melodic bands, and it's kind of cool to see that evolution. And but I mean, Ember to Inferno, it's the beginning, so I think people could kind of grade it on the curve of this is the beginning of this band and look at the evolution, as opposed to like, well, I don't really know if I get the screaming or not. But the guitar work and stuff, is you can see the foundation for what we were going to go towards. And that's actually exciting because we're re-releasing that record now. Coming up in the maybe next few months, possibly.
Oh, that's pretty
But
awesome.
It's coming with demos, the Blue demo, which some people have, but a lot of people haven't heard, which has some of the songs that were on Ember, but like earlier recordings, and then these other recordings that are like no one's ever heard of, like just some like originals that never went on past that.
It's pretty awesome.
So it's kind of, it's going to be cool because I'm really interested to see with people that have discovered Trivium on Vengeance Falls in Silence, you know, what they think of that early Trivium, what that was. Because right now they only have ascendancy, you know, maybe don't know where it came from that. You know, Emperor was definitely kind of like the, gave some signs of where we would have gone after that to ascendancy. So it's going to be exciting to have that out.
Yeah, and that's going to be out on Roadrunner?
No, this is on, I can't remember the name of the thing. It's something else. It's like a, the record was on Life Force before, and then once that deal was up, it reverted back to the band. So I think we're putting it out through something else, sort of like an independent thing. But it's cool. I saw the packaging. It's really like amazing artwork and all this stuff. So it's going to be a kind of a an early history lesson. And I know there's going to be a bunch of liner notes from people involved in it. And Corey and I did it as well, because what's cool is neither of us were on the record.
Oh, wow,
so yeah. Our perspective is from hearing it for the first time before we were in the band. And, you know, everyone involved, Jason, a couple other people, so it's going to be cool.
That's awesome. All right, we only have a few minutes left. Yeah. You guys just played a show in Brooklyn at St. Vitus in front of like maybe 150 people.
Yeah.
Were you also in the band in 2009 when you played at Madison Square Garden?
Yes.
What was that like, thinking about, you know, we're opening up for Slipknot and Coheed on this tour, and then you're playing like this small-ass area? It's only a matter of a couple of years.
It's really crazy because, you know, we've had that experience with a few different cities, London especially. I mean, we've played everything from like the Barfly 100, 200 cap room in the beginning, and even Secret Joe's, to Earl's Court with like Iron Maiden, or the O2 Arena with Iron Maiden, and just crazy stuff like that, and everything in between. Places we headline: Brixton Academy, Hammersmith.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's cool to be able to say that. I mean, another great experience for us is we played CBGBs before it closed.
Yeah.
So
it's a weird evolution.
Yeah.
In New York City,
I mean,
yeah,
for me, it's like the ultimate fan experience. I mean, just as rock and metal, it's like the history of playing those places, because they're not gonna last forever.
Yeah,
not all
very
of them.
True.
So to play them before they get knocked down or turned into an airport stall like CBGB's,
at in Newark Airport,
Newark. You know, before it becomes that, I mean, it's a great honor for us, because we could say, you know, we were at the end of that, you know, when the chapter closed, we got to play the last.
You were there with all the rest of the history.
Which is cool, and it's something I'll never forget. It's one of those things you can't really, like, put a price tag on. It's a priceless experience.
All right. I think this is the end. We usually play a song by the artist, you know, closing out the interview. Which song would you like me to play?
Well, one we just brought back for this tour is called Forsake Not the Dream from In Waves, and that's been a fun one to play. And
okay.
Just jam that one for me.
Cool enough. All right. Thank you so much, man.